Anthony Okamakis. Not many people. Okay. So I've had the privilege of serving Mark for a couple of years now on the trustees for Horizon, together with the other trustees here today. So that's one of his roles for that. Trustee things. Which is amazing and great and interesting. So I'm going to pick my final questions. We're going to fire away here. We didn't prepare for this. So Mark's going to be on the shots here. I thought it would be a bit more entertaining if you asked some awkward questions as well. So Mark, what's your full name?
Mark Tomlins.
Middle name?
Oh yeah, David.
David, oh dear. That's
my favorite.
What's your favorite color?
Blue.
Favorite takeaway?
Indian.
Good choice. Right, what do you do other than being trusted?
So I lead Sutton Community Works, which is a charity in Sutton, which oversees things like food bank, as you mentioned, small industry pastors, school pastors, a job fair, and a friend of the
Great, and so what's the latest updates, what's happening with that? And I know we chose to support that as well.
So. Yeah, the process supports it, and really appreciate that. That's going on the table, isn't it? So really appreciate that. I'm going to leave these for you. I know you've got some over there as well. These are up in the for the last year, so it tells you the wonderful things that we've been doing. I think a couple of needs that we've got at the moment. In the food bank, we do need some more volunteers. We get clients coming in, and they come in quite vulnerable. No, they've lost their jobs, they're going through illness, bereavement, and prison, they're on drugs, you know, substance issues, and they need help. We've got a centre just around the corner, Bishop Andrews, and quite often we're running just with two volunteers, so we could do more volunteers. We've also got a centre of two centres in the summer, and again, we could do more volunteers. So if you are available during the day, although one session is in the evening, so if you can't do it during the day, do you have people at work come and help us in the evening? It would be really great to have you involved in the food bank. Commitments once a month, a couple of hours, meet the clients, they tell you their life story, you know, you pray with them, you encourage them, you give them food, they get the food, and we try to help them. So that would be a fantastic thing. If you're sitting at this point, you think I could give a couple of hours to helping people, particularly on this estate, because we've got that centre at the corner. And actually, one of the things, one of my visions for the food bank is that people don't just come in and get food, but they signpost them to other stuff. So you've got a great church here, and actually if you get people coming to the food bank around the corner, you can signpost them to this church. If you're there as a volunteer, they've got a friendly face as well. So come here.
Great. You can see, guys, that's so in line with our vision of the church, the community, so you can get involved in about. Just going to ask Jill to come up and read a passage and love it before I pray for you. And then
I'll hear the words. Maybe it's for you.
And perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. God add his blessing.
Thank you, John. Mark, you want to that? Just going to pray for Mark before he shares the word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this journey. Thank you for your presence here today, Lord. We pray Mark for this. To work right now, Lord, we pray you speak through him, Father God, and impact every single one of us. Touch us, mold us, change us for you, and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, so, good morning, everyone.
Morning, Mark.
I'm not going to say anything for the next 2 minutes because we're going to have a little film clip.
What's up, everybody? It's Coach Neil from FFWRev.com. And today, I want to give you a little bit of encouragement. Who's ever seen the Three Amigos?
The Three Amigos!
This has to be one of the all-time best movies. Here's my favorite scene.
Now, what was the big dangerous guy who punches us? They assured us my name is Lucky Day. That people of Central Coke can conquer their own personal El Guapo, who also happens to be the actual El Guapo.
We must remember, but not by using the skills and the talents of the people of Sacramento. Now, what is it that this town really does well?
We can sew.
There you go, you can sew. We didn't know this earlier.
And as funny as that scene is, the people of that town went on to use their skills and talents as expert sewers to outsmart and defeat the evil El Guapo and his entire mob of bandits.
Hey, what's the point?
Okay, the point is, too often I hear people say, I can't be successful at this beach body thing, or this opportunity, or that opportunity, because I don't have this, I don't have that, I don't have that skill, I don't have that talent. I can't make movies like you, Caleb. I don't have beautiful hair like her. I don't live here. I don't know anybody there. And to that, I want to tell you that while you might not have what somebody else has, you do have everything you need to be successful. Your life is like a toolbox, and it's overflowing with the skills, experiences, natural talents, wisdom, knowledge, and unique characteristics that you need to rock your life. This is what you gotta do. Put on your entrepreneurial thinking caps, take the blessings God's given you, and spin them in a way that works for you. Don't try to live in somebody else's shoes that you don't fit. Even if your gift is so, you can patch together a game plan that will work for you. You gotta believe in yourself. You gotta use the creative brain that God trusted you with. You gotta apply what you've got, and you gotta never give up. And again, I know this is easier said than done. It's tricky to figure out what we've got in our own toolbox. But if you know in your heart that you were created to do amazing things with your life, reach out to me. I would love to talk to you and help you figure this out. I'm still learning how to use my tools, but I know one thing for certain. Everybody has something beautiful to give, including you. Love you guys. Peace.
So, So, I wonder how many of you can tell me how many days are there till Christmas? And anyone want to guess? Any mathematicians?
Seven.
You said 70. Wow. Okay. That's pretty impressive, really, because, it's about 70 days and a few hours, so fantastic, well done. So, you definitely go to the top of the class. So, I don't know about you, but over the years, you get different kinds of gifts at Christmas, and you give different kinds of gifts, and sometimes those gifts that you give, if we're honest, are not the best gifts in the world, and sometimes the gifts we get sometimes don't feel like the best gifts, do they? And every year there's like £2 billion worth of unwanted gifts that we give at Christmas. How do I know that? Because eBay will give you research, and they'll tell you how many gifts go on to their website soon after Christmas, and it's usually around about £2 billion worth of unwanted gifts. And I was just thinking that, and I was thinking, well, if somebody gave me this as a gift, an iPhone, I would be pretty excited. How many people would be pretty excited about that? Yeah, there's a lot of excitement, but not as many of as excited people as I thought they might be. But if there is, people have given me socks as well. How many people would be excited by having a pair of socks? Depends on the socks, yeah. I mean, these are not that exciting, are they? But I think that, you know, years ago, if somebody gave me socks, I would be like, you know, you put a lot of thought into that one, didn't you? But actually, I think iPhones are overrated. I've got an iPhone. I think they're great, but they're overrated. I actually think socks are underrated. Because actually socks are brilliant, because you get them in different colours and nice little things on them, which I quite like. And you get them in kind of brighter colours as well, which is quite cool. And you can also get them with Pringles on them, so, you know, fake Pringle, which makes you feel like you've got a decent pair of socks on. But that's it. Have you ever tried bony shoes with that? Yeah. Look at those socks, yeah, brilliant. And have you ever tried wearing your shoes without socks? It's not very nice, is it? So socks actually are pretty cool because they stop your feet from chafing. You know, so I think sometimes with us, we sometimes think about gifts and we think, actually, I'm just like a sock. You know, I'm pretty functional. They do the job, but it's not particularly exciting. And sometimes we look at other people and we think, they're a bit like the iPhone of gifts. You know, they're multifaceted, they seem to be able to preach, and they seem to be able to get here and play the drums, and they seem to be able to stand on their head, and they seem to be able to do all these wonderful things. And the reality is, some people do have more gifts than others. But what I want to encourage this morning is that every single one of us in this room has gifts. You have gifts. And so I want to take a moment, right, think, what is my gift? What are my gifts? You know, what are my gifts here this morning? Because we all have gifts, don't we? I'm meant to be flipping this thing as well at the same time, aren't I? So, we'll try and remember to do that as well. Now, the reality is that I'm not a sock and I'm not an iPhone. And actually, all of us are much greater than these things that we're talking about. So, is this working? Am I clicking the right place? How do I click? How does it click? Can you click? Oh, there it is. Can you do it for me? So, the first truth I wanted to say this morning is that you and me, we are special. I don't know whether we really get that sometimes, but we are special. Firstly, we're created in the image of God. That's a pretty special thing, isn't it? That we're in the image of God. We're in His image. Just let that sink in. We're in His image. And secondly, It says, you've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You've made them rulers over the works of your hands. You've put everything under their feet. That's you and me. God has made us rulers. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? So we're not a Spock. We're not even an iPhone, you know. We're much greater. We're immeasurably greater than those things. It says in the Psalms that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And that is pretty awesome, isn't it? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I was chatting with Richard before the service, and he was telling me about somebody who broke their collarbone, and that this collarbone actually reformed itself within the body. And I'm fascinated by the way the brain works, that you can actually refashion your neural pathways in your brain. It's amazing. The body is fearfully and wonderfully made. Before, Sam asked you to smile at each other and laugh, and that was, I thought, slightly cringe when he did it. However, it was quite nice, wasn't it? It was quite contagious. So I'm going to ask you to do something. This is a cringe moment, technically. I want you to look at the person next to you, and I want you to say to them, I am unique. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm unique. Say something like that to the person next to you, because that is true. So to say, I am unique, and I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I think as you were saying that some of you were saying fearfully and wonderfully made, but with a bit too much emphasis, you know. But we are amazing creations of God, and He wants to share things with us. And so that's the first thing I want us to get hold of this morning, that we are special. And as the guy said in the video, there's no one who can be you like you. You know, I can't be Richard. Richard can't be me. I can try to be like Richard. I'm even trying to be like me. But actually, there's no one that can be like you. And that's quite liberating, really, isn't it? So you can actually be Mark. You can be Mark Brewer. You don't have to be like anybody else. You can be you. As long as it's the best you. So I'm not saying anything goes. We need to be the best Mark Tomlinson that I can be. And I do that under the word of God and under the Lord Jesus Christ, don't I? We all do that. So that's a truth that we have. Now, the leaders are away, so we can play, can't we?
Absolutely.
And I thought I would bring you a box of chocolates, so unlike that, David and Judith, if you're listening to this any time, just bear this in mind, this is the way you feel your congregation. Pass it around and take one, you know. Now this has got a point to it. I'm not just doing this to win you over. This has got a point to it, because the reality is, as we read in the scripture this morning in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8, we're all different. And actually these chocolates are all different. And the one thread going through all these chocolates is they are quality. And I want to say that to you this morning, that you are all different. There's no doubt about it, you're all different. You're all different, but you are quality. You know, we need to get hold of that we are quality, because we're created in the image of the God of this universe. So as you take these chocolates this morning, I just want you to, almost like communion here, you know, we're taking in, I just want us to realize that. But as we take this, we are different, but we are quality. So, it's going to work. Sharon, I'm not asking you to do it, it's okay. Wonderful. So, we looked in the passage this morning, and in the passage, it basically says, and I put in bold, that all the members, that's you and me, we all have different functions. We don't have the same function. So we don't all have to do the same thing. We can actually have our function. And it says in the passage, doesn't it, that we have different gifts. So we all have different gifts. So that, again, is liberating. So if you see David and Judith, and David and Judith are great preachers, you don't have to be like David and Judith. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to stand in the worship team. You can actually be you. Now that should be liberating. You don't have to try to be like somebody else, because God has created you in a certain way, and he's given you certain gifts. Now, I think some of you may be sitting there thinking this morning, and I've done this over the years, what are my gifts? Has anyone ever thought that? You know, what do I have to offer? What are my gifts? You know, what do I do? Because it's easy when you see somebody standing up and they're leading the worship and they've got a lovely voice and they lead you into the presence of God, you think, well, actually, I can see their gift. But what is my gift? Maybe I'm new to the faith. Maybe I'm a new Christian. Maybe I've been around for a while, but I'm not quite sure. Sometimes we do things because we have to do them in the church, and that's absolutely right. But sometimes we lose the sense of, what is my gifting? What has God called me to do? So, I just wanted to say a few things in the time I've got this morning about how we can think about our gifting. So if we move on to the next slide, Sharon. So I think one of the keys, so truth number three this morning, is one of the keys to finding what our gifting is to come from the place of serving. Serving. Because, you know, it says in here, it says, when he had finished washing their feet, it's talking about Jesus, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And then he said to them, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. This was our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, who's basically not just doing this as a kind of, you know, a little illustration. He's saying, look, this is what the Christian life is about. It's about service. You know, you never get beyond serving as a Christian. That's what we always do. We serve. That's how we live as a Christian life. We give our lives away. And as we give our lives away, we find our lives. And why are these gifts given to us? You know, I know why I get a sock. You know, sock. Because they actually have a function, don't they? And actually, the iPhone has a wonderful function. We were laughing at the beginning, weren't we? We were saying, can anyone find a Bible? You know, because actually everyone brings their Bible now on their iPhone, and you've got your appointments, and your whole life seems to be on your smartphone. There are other brands available for that. But, you know, they have a function, don't they? But the reason why God has given us gifts is not for ourselves. It's not for ourselves, it's so that we can serve other people. God has given us gifts so that we can serve other people. That's why we have gifts. Now, I think that I would be right in saying this, and maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but I would say that David and Judith are great leaders. You know, they preach well, they teach well. But I would also say that it would be unusual not to find Judith somewhere around the kitchen making tea. She comes to the circle, she's in the kitchen. And Dave, you know, would be wandering around, so quite often, if I come, he'll be on the door welcoming people. You know, and as leaders, and the old leaders were away this week, apart from Larry, actually, that you never get beyond serving, do you? You never get beyond setting the chairs out and putting the chairs away. You don't get beyond that because you're always serving. You're always washing feet. And you know, I've been a Christian for over 30 years. I know it doesn't look that way. But, you know, in 30 years of being a Christian, I've never ever come across the gift of putting chairs up in the Bible. I've never come across the gift of putting chairs away. I've actually never come across the gift of making tea and coffee. I've never come across the gift of actually standing on the door and saying, you're welcome, you know, into the church. These are things that we do because they need to be done. It would be lovely if there was a gift of doing it, but actually there isn't, is there? It's actually, you can do it well. I mean, I think some people make better teas and coffees than others, by the way. Not saying we've met anyone here, but I had a great cup of coffee this morning, just to say that. I did. I did. I actually did have a very quick coffee. But you know what I'm saying? It's that there are some things that you just don't need a gift for. You just need to get on and do it, basically. And that's one way of finding what your gifts are, by just getting involved. Just getting involved. Okay, the next one, Sharon. This is the truth number four, which is basically Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 23 says this. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant." Now, as you get towards the end of your life, and if you think about, you know, meeting the Lord, isn't that the most wonderful thing that the Lord can say to you? Well done, good and faithful servant. So we never get beyond being a servant for Christ. You know, you stand in multi arenas and preach, and some people do that, and maybe they have lost some of their servant. Yes, I don't know. But actually, if you follow Jesus, you never get beyond washing feet. This is, you've been faithful with a few things, I will put you in charge of many things. Come and show your master's happiness. Now, I think there's a principle there. I think there's a principle that if we serve in small ways, if we serve in small ways, it might be putting the chairs out, it might be making the teas and coffees, it might be welcoming people, it might be, you know, I was fascinated that, you know, a number of people went out there this morning, and I was thinking, oh, they're going to miss my preview. And then I thought, well, actually, they're doing the stuff that I'm talking about. They're actually serving, aren't they? They're in there, serving away this morning, giving of themselves. And I'd encourage you this morning that if you are thinking about what is my gifting, well, start doing small things, start serving in small ways, because as you serve and are faithful in making that tea and coffee, and you know, you did it with a smile this morning, and you said, and I said thank you, and you said you're welcome, you know, and it was like, it wasn't just as your coffee, but it was done with, you know, it made me feel, oh, that's, it's not just a tea, it's not just a coffee, it's a welcome, you know, and that's, if you're going to make tea and coffee, if you're going to put the chairs out, be the best pusher of chairs out. And when you put them away, be the best pusher away of the chairs. And, you know, do it with all of our hearts. And serve them as we do that. As we're faithful in that, the Lord will give us more. You know, do you want more? Do you want to know what your gifts are? Then serve Him faithfully in those things. As we lose ourselves in serving, we find ourselves. You know, if you want to know what your gifting is, Jesus says, if you lose yourselves in serving, oddly enough, you find yourself. That's a paradox, isn't it? Quite often in the world today, there's lots of books in the self-help shop that say, how can I, you know, be my best self? How can I be the person I was made to be? These aren't Christian books necessarily. And actually, the focus is on me. But actually, Jesus said, look, if you lose yourself, lose thoughts of yourself in serving other people, you will actually find yourself. That's an offer, isn't it? That's an offer. So if you want to know your gifting, lose yourself and you will find yourself. Okay, the next one, Sharon. So truth number five, there's only six, by the way, truths. There's more truths than that in the Bible, but six this morning. How do you know your gifting? Well, Your gifting will become evident. So let me just read this. It says, for by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you should, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. So just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace that God has given to us. Now the key word in that, as you can see I've highlighted, is grace. Because actually, you know, people might start getting above themselves, and they start leading things, and they start standing up in front of people. And that's a natural human temptation to do that. But actually, God puts them, Paul puts them firmly in their place and says, you know, it's the grace that I've been given that gives me this. And grace, if you know what grace means, does anyone know what grace means? Does anyone give me a definition of grace?
Undeserved favor.
Yeah, undeserved favor. Fantastic. Yeah, undeserved favor. What's that mean?
God's riches at Christ's expense.
Yes, so God's riches at Christ's expense. Wonderful. So others are favour and God's riches at Christ's expense. Now, the reality is that as it comes to Christmas time, I know that my brother's going to give me a gift. Now, I'm going to give him a gift because I want to give him a gift. But you know, there is that kind of contract that always goes on, isn't there? Somebody gives you a Christmas card, or better, scribble a Christmas card. And that's kind of understandable, but that's not the way God does it. It's like, you know, God says, yeah, there's your gift. Nothing you can do about it. It's your gift. You just need to receive it, and you need to grow that gift so we can receive it and grow it. Now, you know, if you subscribe to any magazine like Premier Christian Radio or National Trust or whatever they are, quite often they say, if you sign up for this thing, we'll give you a free gift. Well, it's not a free gift, is it? Because you just signed up, you're subscribing. But actually, God says, you know, I'm going to give you this freely. You have this free gift. And so, it says here that our gifts differ according to the grace that is given to us. So how do we know what gifts we've got? It will become evident because the grace of God is upon you. The grace of God is undeserved favour. It's His blessing, it's His favour upon you. So people will see that you have favour. So, let me just go through the next one. Sharon, you got it? Different kinds of gifts. So in these verses, there are different kinds of gifts. So just shout out the gifts that you see in these verses. So if you can see any gifts, just shout them out. Prophecy. Encouraging. Teaching. Leading.
Giving.
Mercy. Yes. What's it?
Compassion.
Yeah, mercy and compassion, yes. And serving, which quite often is translated as helping people with practical things, practical needs. Now, how do we know when somebody's got a gift of leading? Well, somebody's following. You know, if you've got a gift of leading and nobody's following, then basically you probably ain't got a gift of leadership. You know, it's that simple, isn't it? Now, if you think you've got a gift of encouragement, and we should all encourage, you know, but some people are definitely gifted, aren't they? They're able to make you just encourage you. If you've got a gift of encouragement, I think what will happen is that over a period of time, if you get involved in your home group, you have home groups, don't you? And everybody goes to home groups, don't they?
Yeah.
Every fortnight. Every fortnight. Everybody should be going to home groups, shouldn't they? And you get involved in the church, and there's plenty of opportunities to encourage people in home groups and in the church. Now, if you've got a gift of encouragement, what will happen over a period of weeks and months is that people will feed back to you and say, you know what, you really encourage me. And if you get enough people saying that, after a while, the picture starts to form, and you think, actually, you know what, I think I must have a gift of encouragement here. Others will spot that. And it's the same in teaching. You go along to your Bible study, the Word of God is opened up, just like we had this morning, and as you go around the room, we start to share it around that passage. And somebody who's got a gift of teaching will suddenly start to explain it in a very simple way. And somebody else will say, you know what you said made a lot of sense to me. And if that happens, you know, numerous times, then sooner or later, the penny drops, and they realize, actually, this person can explain things in a simple way. And it's the same with mercy and compassion, isn't it? That you know those people that you want to chat to because you sense that they're not judging you, that they're there for you, that they can listen to you. So do you understand what I'm saying? That sometimes with gifting, how do you know what gift you've got? It's because it becomes obvious because God's grace is upon that gift and others start to see it. And so the role of the leaders in the church, one of their roles, is to actually spot the giftings, isn't it? They're actually there to spot that. So the leaders have got home groups, the leaders like Dick and Judith and others that have gone away this weekend, they should start to think, oh, actually, you know what, that person's got a gift of prophecy because every time I've heard them prophesy, something actually happens. You know, it happens, something actually comes of that. And that person's got a gift of encouragement. But you know what? If you're not at the crease, you can't get any runs. You know, if you're not in the saddle, you can't ride your bike. And what I mean by that is that it's very difficult for leaders to actually see what giftings are there if you're not actually going to home groups and getting involved in events and coming to church. So those things are really quite key, you know, for a leader to actually discern what is going on. So we have different gifts, and I think you can think about your gifting in that way. You can say to yourself, well, so what thing, what gifts do I seek to exhibit on a regular basis? So just take a moment, just for a moment, just take half a minute, I just want you to think through that list up there. What one gift, so let's just think of one gift, maybe you can think of two or three, that's great. But what one gift do you find yourself operating in on a regular basis that others will say, oh, you really encourage me? Or, you know, you might prophesy, but actually if you're prophesying and nothing happens, then maybe it's not a prophetic gift. Teaching, you might be able to teach, but actually if people go away confused, then maybe it's not. And leading, you might lead something, but if no one's following, that's not really helpful. So what gift do you think you have at this point? What do you, what sort of, what spins your wheel? You know, what excites you? What sort of things do you do? What have these things here? I'm not asking you to speak now. You can if you want to, but I just want you just to reflect on that for a second. And the thing I would say, because it's God's grace that gives this, these free gifts, it comes from God. It's not, I can't manufacture a gift of leading worship. I can't. A, my voice would probably give me away, but I can't manufacture that. I can worship God in myself, but to lead a congregation of worship, I couldn't do that. That's not my gifting. So you can pray, you can say, Lord, show me which gift you have graced me with. Because he's given you gifts. So, finally, there is another gift list in 1 Corinthians 12, which we won't go into this morning, but they're more sign gifts, things like prophesying, teaching, not teaching, healing, tongues, and things like that, discernment, words of knowledge, but that's a separate thing. Finally, we move to the next one. So, final two is a real giveaway about your gifts is that you will actually enjoy using them. You will enjoy using your gifts. So if you don't enjoy something, you know, I'm not talking about making teas and coffees and stuff like that, but if you don't enjoy something, that's probably a giveaway that you are not actually gifted in that area. Do you ever see the film Chariots of Fire? Chariots of Fire came out many years ago, and there was a guy called Eric Liddell who said that when he ran, he felt the pleasure of God when he ran. Now I think the gift is when you feel, when you enjoy it, because it says in the Bible, God has given us richly all things to hate. No, to enjoy. So actually he's given us gifts to enjoy, not to consume upon ourselves. Hear what I'm saying. But actually he's given us these gifts that as we serve other people with them, we actually enjoy it too. Nothing wrong with that. You know, like we were saying this morning about smiling, nothing wrong with smiling, nothing wrong with having a laugh. Actually it's good for you, isn't it? And there's nothing wrong with actually using the gifts God has got and enjoying those gifts. And so Jesus said this, he said, "You will be happier when you're giving than receiving." So when you give, you are happier. And Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and poured into your lap. For the measure you use will be measured to you." So as we give out to other people, as we serve, as we use our gifts to glorify God and to serve other people, God gives us more back. Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that sound like a good deal? You know, if I was a salesman pitching something, would you sign for that? We have signed up for it, by the way, because you're interested. So, finally, Sharon. So just to sum up, so you are special with lots of potential. You made a new to God. Secondly, we all have gifts, so all of us, from the youngest to the oldest. You're not too old, and you're not too young. Serving is key. It's always the key, because gifts are given to us, not for ourselves, but to bless other people. Serving small ways, and that's how you'll grow. So if you want to get to know your gifts, start serving anywhere. And actually, if you want to grow your gift, as you serve, as you're faithful, God gives you more. That's what he says in the Bible. Your gift will become obvious. Others will see it and become obvious to you. And you will enjoy using your gifts. Isn't that great? You actually enjoy it. So I'd like us to finish off with a response. Are we going to have someone worship at the end? Be great if we could. Yeah. I'd like us to finish with a response, which is the next one. Which we started the passage by reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. And it's interesting that the gifts that we've been speaking about this morning, they come after this, don't they? Which is basically about laying our lives down before God. So what I'd like us to do as we sing this final song is to lay our lives down before the Lord and say, Lord, you know, use me. I want to lay myself down before you. The gifts that you've given to me, I want to serve your people. So that's the response that you can make during worship time.